May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus the King of all, the King of our hearts. Amen. Our text today is the Gospel, the Palm Sunday Gospel. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, You are King, and as You enter Jerusalem, so enter our lives, our hearts, with Your mercy, Your love. Grant us the Holy Spirit that we submit to You this day and all our days, and honor You as our King. Help us now and always to gladly hear Your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, who here today is going to cry? If your parents have their hands up, you're going to cry. Choir going to cry today? Got a hand up or two out there. Congregation going to cry? I kind of, be honest with you today, I kind of feel like crying today. Abby, Ann and I's youngest child's confirmed today. You know, where'd my little Abby go? The youngest one now already 13 years old, teenager, confirmed the last one. You feel like crying. By the way, it was Megan's birthday yesterday, 20 years old for Megan now. My little Maggie now is beautiful Maggie, and little Abby's beautiful Abby. You kind of feel like crying. I'm sure the confirmants feel like crying today. Your official instruction with Pastor Roberts and I has now ended. Don't you feel like crying about that? Tears of joy, maybe. I have some family from Michigan here today. Don't boo, okay? Some family from Michigan, and they're going to be crying at about 5 o'clock this afternoon when Tennessee beats Michigan State to go to the Final Four. Am I right, Vol fans? Yeah, there you go. I had to throw a bone. Had to throw a bone to Tennessee people. After all, they pay my paycheck this week, hopefully. A day to cry. That's kind of a good theme for Palm Sunday, which begins Holy Week, the greatest week in the church year, the week our Lord goes to work, finally, ultimately, and delivers us from sin, death, and hell. It is a day to cry. Not for personal reasons or family reasons, but we can't help but cry because of what our God does this week. First of all, we cry out in praise. How can we not praise God? We cry out in praise. We rejoice, as Zechariah tells us to do in the Old Testament. We sing, we shout aloud, we adore our Lord, we thank Him, we cry out in praise. Great choir hymn today. All glory, love, and honor. We sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. We let loose in the season of Lent. We've been singing kind of somber, low-key hymns. Today we let loose. It's Palm Sunday. We cry out in praise. How can we not? Repeat after me. Hosanna.
Hosanna,
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is He.
Blessed
who comes in the name of the Lord.
The
endless praise of angels and archangels in the church this day. And it even gets louder next Sunday. Good Friday and next Sunday as we come into that at the end of Holy Week. Easter's coming, isn't it? You know, Jesus in His ministry often didn't want public praise. You recall in His three-year ministry, He does a lot of miracles, and sometimes He says, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody yet. Don't tell anybody what's going on. Don't share the good news yet. Don't tell anybody. You recall after He fed the 5,000, they wanted to make Him king, and He says, no, you're not going to make me king. But now on Palm Sunday, the king enters Jerusalem. He doesn't stay away from Jerusalem when they want to kill him. Doesn't sneak in the back door scared. Doesn't put it off, well, maybe I'll go next year to the Passover. But the king enters. It's a one-man show this week. The God-man, Jesus Christ. He comes, all eyes fixed on Jesus. He comes as king to defeat sin, death, the devil, the demons, all of hell, all by Himself, a one-man show to save the world. And so we cry out in praise. Jesus wants our praise this day. Don't hold back, He says. He wants our praise, our adoration this day. At the end of the text, the gospel, the Pharisees, of course, say to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. In other words, they're praising you too much. Come on, they're giving way too much praise. They acknowledge you as their King and Messiah. You got to do something, Jesus. What does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, you know you're right, the disciples got to temper it down a little bit, don't sing so loud, don't be so loud about all this? No. It's the day to cry out and praise. I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. A lesson, a little lesson here, one lesson here. To be a Christian confirmand, you'd be as smart as a rock. You guys as smart as a stone or a rock? The Lord is saying, maybe in a way, even a lifeless, inanimate rock is smart enough to praise me this day. A rock that the donkey walks on. Even that rock that I made is smart enough to praise me. It knows that I made it, if it has a brain. Even a rock can praise me. So if you don't praise me, then the rocks will praise me. So you humans who have a mind and a brain who have come to say, certainly you should praise me and acknowledge me as your king. Just be as smart as a lifeless, inanimate rock and cry out and praise this day. The palm branches, I think, are quite significant. We had the kids carry in palm branches, and it's called Palm Sunday. When I think of palm branches, I first of all think of the Garden of Eden. The king has come to bring us back to the Garden of Eden, the way things were always meant to be. I think of the first week of creation when God made everything and it was all good and wonderful and peaceful and harmony of God and man. But we lost all that in sin, didn't we? We were all wicked and sinful. And now Holy Week is the week of new creation. It's the new week of creation where the King, our God, Jesus, comes to recreate all things, to make everything good again. And the palm is a symbol of life, the Garden of Eden. I'm coming to give you life. And so we cry out and praise. We've been brought back to God, reconciled. How can we not praise our God? We're back in paradise. Isn't that what he said to the thief on Good Friday? Today you'll be with me in paradise, back in the garden, the way it was supposed to be. And also palm branches are a symbol of victory. In the Lord's day, it was a symbol of victory. And so they wave palm branches to Jesus and say, you're the victorious king. Well, when you think about it, Jesus hasn't really done anything yet. He hasn't died yet. He hasn't risen yet. Easter hasn't happened yet. And already the crowd's saying, you're victorious. It's like a ticker tape parade for Jesus before he even dies or rises. It's the confidence of the crowd, the certainty of the crowd that he is the king who will conquer. Kind of like us, if we had a ticker tape parade for the men's team tomorrow because they've won the national championship. Well, they may not win today, and they still have next week if they win today. We'd be awful arrogant and awful certain if we have a parade today that they win the championship, but they don't win it until next weekend. Take a lot of faith and certainty. And this is the faith the church has this day because we know what happens. We wave palm branches because we know the king has conquered. We know next Sunday is Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We can shout it even today. We know he takes on sin, death, and hell and defeats it all. For 11 confirmands, for all the whole congregation, for the whole world. And so we cry today. We cry out in endless praise. But also today, we simply cry. The Palm Sunday story is quite short. 12 verses or so. Nice parade, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, shouts of praise, palm branches, laying the coats down. It's all wonderful, but we know what happens the rest of the week. The next few chapters, Christ is no longer treated as king, he's treated as criminal. How quickly things change. Palm Sunday, they wave palm branches. Good Friday, they wave their fists in his face. Palm Sunday, they lay their coats before him. Good Friday, they lay a crown of thorns on his head. Palm Sunday, they cheer him. Good Friday, they jeer him. Palm Sunday, he rides on a donkey, the humble king. On Good Friday, he has a cross riding him. On Palm Sunday, he enters as king. On Good Friday, he exits as criminal. And so we cry. We have cries of praise, but our cries of praise turn into cries of pain. For it is our sins that led to all this. We have cries of gladness, but then there's also, later in the week, cries of sadness. Not just March Madness time, folks. It's March Sadness for the Christian. the sadness over our sins that let down the Father and led to the crucifixion of His Son. A broken and contrite heart we ever have. Yes, we cry out with singing, but we also cry out with great sorrow. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm a poor, a miserable sinner. Forgive me, my God. So there's two types of cries. The cry of praise, yes, but the cry of sorrow on our knees, confessing sin. We confess this day that we're a lot like this crowd. The crowd's so fickle. On Palm Sunday, we want you, Jesus. You're our King. You're victorious. We want you. Come, be our King. On Good Friday, we don't want you anymore. Get rid of you. Crucify him. We're very fickle. Well, do you want him or not? Do you want him or not? We're the same way. Sometimes we want Jesus. Forgive me. Give me your word. I want the sacrament. I want you, Jesus. And other times, I'm too busy. I got work to do. I got the ball game to go to. I got other things to do. Go in the corner, Jesus, for a while. We're just like the crowd. We confess that we're like Peter, that we read about later in the week. Peter, who denied the Lord three times in weakness. We're the same way. We're weak. We deny him. We're afraid. We confess that we're a lot like Pilate, that we read about later in the week. Pontius Pilate, who excuses his sin, washes his hands. He loves the crowd. He wants the crowd to love him more than he loves Jesus or wants to honor Jesus. So he gives in, gives Jesus over. We're the same way. We compromise our faith. We give into the world. We excuse ourselves of our sin. Let somebody else did it. We're a lot like Judas, who we read about later in the week here. Judas, yes, who betrayed the Lord for money. And if we really look into our hearts, a lot of us sitting here today, myself included, often love money a whole lot more than we love the mercy of our God. We got this huge uproar this week about health care reform. Oh my! How are we going to pay off this debt? How are our kids and grandkids going to pay off this huge debt of health care reform? I mean, it's an uproar. Because it has to do with this. We get mad about this. Where's the uproar over the debt we owe to God? The eternal debt of hell that we owe Him for our sin. Where's the uproar for that? And the great praise to give to Jesus who paid the debt for our kids and our grandkids and for all of us. Interesting what we get so upset about, isn't it? Confirmands, learn to cry. To summarize confirmation teaching, a Christian cries. Learn to cry. Cry over your sins. Not just every now and then, but may it ever be an attitude of the heart, a broken heart, a contrite heart that God works in you by the Holy Spirit, through His law, through the events of life, that you have a broken and contrite heart, but you cry over your sins. You know, if you don't make good grades, don't cry about that. I don't care if Mama did tell you to cry. Don't cry over grades. There's always another grade next week. Don't cry over it. If you lose a ball game, don't cry about that. Even the pastor lost a ball game now and then, believe it or not. Don't cry about that. There'll be another ball game. If you break up with somebody in high school, don't cry over breaking up with a girl or a boy. There'll be another girl, another boy, and probably another one after that too. It's not worth crying about. You get grounded by mom and dad. Don't cry about that. Sorry, moms and dads. Maybe they should cry about that. Well, you're really not to cry about that. The grounding will be over. You'll repent, forgive and forget, and you move on. Cry over sin. Cry over hatred and greed and jealousy and gossiping and all that lies in the heart. That's worth crying over before God. But don't just stop there. Also cry and praise. The Christian life is one of crying. Then cry out and praise, as we have done in the service. For sins are forgiven in Jesus. Cry out and praise of the absolution that you hear from your pastor. Come and confess and then hear the absolution that your sins are forgiven. As pastor says, so well, I have good news for you. The best news, Jesus died for your sins. Cry out and praise over forgiveness that is free. You don't have to bring money for it. Don't have to bring a list of good works for it. It's freely bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Cry out and praise over that. And cry out and praise for your baptism. And cry out and praise for communion that you get for the first time today. That you hold in your hands Christ himself, the one crucified, risen for you, the all-glorious one, the one who's conquered sin, death, and hell, God himself, he puts himself into your hands and then in your mouth. What a God! Cry out and praise over that as you go back to your pew today. Just thank him with your hearts, praise him with your hearts, and say, thank you, God, that you love me and you forgive me. Ever cry out and praise over that. You know, I went to a wedding last weekend. My nephew in Indianapolis got married. And I had a great wedding. And my sister and my brother-in-law here today, it's my sister's son who was married. Great reception. You never guess what song they played at the reception. And people danced to it. Would people in Tennessee guess what song they played? This is Indianapolis, Indiana, folks. They played Rocky Top. Oh, what's happening? I don't know what's happening to me here. I don't know. I guess my influence carried it back there. I don't know what happened. And the DJ said, I said, do they know Rocky Top? And he said, everybody knows Rocky Top. We're going to play it. And they all ran up and danced. And the people even did the woo in the middle of the song too. I'm just trying to be nice to my Tennessee people today, family. I'll be nice to you afterwards here. I thought to myself, though, there's a Rocky Top that we want to keep our minds on. It's not a Rocky Top in the Smoky Mountains. And we don't think of the color orange. And we don't think of singing and going woo. The Rocky Top I'm thinking of is the Rocky Top outside Jerusalem. Probably the little rocky hill called Golgotha. That's the true Rocky Top. The hill outside Jerusalem where your Savior died for you. And he died for me, and he died for the congregation of the whole world. May that Rocky Top ever be in your hearts. Of all that you've learned, may you just remember, Jesus died for me. Whole congregation, say that with me. Jesus died for me. One more time, a little louder. Jesus died for me. Know everything else, because it's all wonderful to learn, but ever hold that in your heart. And when you think of Rocky Top, don't think of orange. Think of the red blood of Jesus. And do cry out in praise. And do, maybe not in church, but certainly go out there. If you want to do a dance out there. Have a reception and cry out in praise that Jesus died for me. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm God's child. I'm going to heaven. Palm Sunday, Confirmation Sunday. What do we do as a church? What do confirmation students do? We cry. That's what we do. We cry over sins. We cry and praise for the forgiveness of sins. So confirmants, First Lutheran, family, friends, may we ever cry and cry and cry. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.